You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 7, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we have a live SoundCloud taping on the air, and then we have prayer school. Right, we have prayer school. First of all, we pray for America. Why? Because we're commanded to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 and 2, it says, before anything else, pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. You're not having such a quiet and peaceful life, are you? So you better get here. Yeah. And then guess what we do? I pray for everybody one by one until I fall out. For everybody. The Holy Spirit anoints me. I ask him to intercede for me with groanings which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to the Father's will, and he does, and he often operates in the wonderful gifts of Spirit. So I'm telling you what, Wednesday 6 p.m. is your party, church, and if you don't come to your party, whoo, what's the matter with you? And come every Sunday 5 p.m. with live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. The book of Hebrews is God's message to the church, the many-membered body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. This Hebrews chapter 6, Jesus commands us to grow. When you first get saved, even if you're 80 years old, you're a baby Christian. And he says to grow on to the fullness and likeness of Jesus Christ. Why does he want us to do that? Because he wants you to be a vessel of honor in his hands so you can serve him. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, you are called to till the soil. You are called to till the soil.
Verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meet for them by whom it is dressed.
The word dressed there in the Greek means tilled, T-I-L-L-E-D. In other words, the farmer cultivates the ground, he breaks the fallow ground, and then the farmer plants a seed in the ground. Now, when that seed goes in, it becomes dormant. You cover it over with dirt. It becomes dormant. It looks like it's dead. But then God brings the rain, and the seed begins to germinate, and the embryo comes up through the ground, and look what you've got. You've got a fruit tree. Look at that. Now, in John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it shall bear much fruit. Now remember in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let them make us male and female, mankind in general. That was not Etha Adam, that man Adam. This was mankind in general in the Hebrew. What is that? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God said, that's very, very precious. That was when the races were created. Then God rested on the Sabbath day, and he said, oh my goodness, I need a farmer to till the soil, to cultivate the soil. So he created a special man, Eth Ha'adam in the Hebrew, and Eve. And it was through Eth Ha'adam would finally come the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Savior. Now, Jesus Christ is a Son of God. He is a seed of the Father. So Jesus came and the seed died for our sins. If he had not died for our sins, you and I would be alone. We could not go back to the Father's house because all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But the seed fell into the ground and Jesus arose, and now he's the first fruits of many, many, many children. Now God wants you to till the soil. You are called to till the soil. What is your soil? Jesus says the field is the world. So your soil is anybody in the world. The next person you meet or who texts you on your cell phone there is your soil, okay? What are you supposed to sow? You're supposed to sow the Word of God. Jesus is the Word, and he put himself in a body. The Bible is the Word, and he put himself in a book. Okay. Now, as a tiller of the soil, everybody you meet's your mission field. Everybody say, everybody I meet's my mission field. Ready?
Everybody I meet's my mission field.
Okay. As you till the soil, you're going to have two specific kinds of people, soil, to till. Some of them will be lost, and some of them will be saved. So, when you meet a lost person, what kind of a seed do you sow? You're going to till the soil, you're going to make a breakthrough there, and till the soil. You sow the word, Romans 3:23. Everybody say that. Romans 3:23. You must memorize it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must memorize it. You've got to be ready. And then you have to have Romans 6:23. And the wages of sin is death. Woo! But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. That's Romans 6:23. You must memorize that. And then you must know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you've sown the word to them. You've got their attention. But remember, God brings the rain. Now you want to rain on it. You want to water it. And you want to pray with them. Romans 10:9-10. Remember, they must acknowledge that they've sinned. They must repent of their sins. And Romans 10:9-10 says they must confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, now that's how you till the soil for a lost person. So go and till. Now, you're going to meet mostly Christians because all of you go to church, as Hebrews 10:25 commands you to do, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. See, the person sitting beside you might need a little tilling. Okay. You're going to meet Christians in your life, by the way, every morning of your life. Pray before you go out. Ask the Father to put someone in your pathway so it can till their soil. You're going to meet Christians who are very much afraid. The whole world's afraid now, and most every Christian is, but we're not supposed to be afraid. So what do you do? How do you sow a seed into them? Isaiah 41:10. You say to them, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:2. Memorize that. Now you're going to meet Christians who are sick in their body. Well, what do you do? James 5:13-17. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. That's not talking about age, someone mature in the word. If you've been coming here 2 years, you are mature in the word, unless you've been asleep. And it says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, olive oil, pure olive oil, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. You don't do it, the Lord does it. There's no healing in the oil. It's an act of obedience. When you obey, God brings blessings, but it does mean in the Hebrew, Eliyah, two of the names of God, Eliyan and Yahweh. Now, I gave everybody who comes here at Christmas a little vial of oil. You might have used it up by now. Go buy you some pure virgin oil, put it back in there. If you want me to pray for it, I will. You pray over it. Keep that in your purse, keep it in your pocket, because you're going to need it. Now, so till that soil. You see, people ought not to be sick. Somebody sitting beside you is sick. I'm going to offer to pray for your sickness in a little bit. Now, you're going to meet a Christian who does not have enough money. So, go there, ask what kind of seed you're going to sow. Go to your barn, grab a seed there. You're going to sow to that person who does not have enough money. You're going to sow to them the tithing, Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? No. If you don't tithe, you're robbing him, and that's why you don't have enough money. Bring all your tithes in the storehouse that there may meet mine house, and prove me now here with the Lord. If I'll not open you the windows, I'll pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Then you sow to them 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the offering. You have a tithe plus an offering. The offering, he says, it multiplies your seed sown 30, 60, 100. And then give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. So you see, you have all kind of good things now to offer people. That's your seed.
Amen.
Receiving blessings from God.
And boy, when you get blessings. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 says, knowing whatsoever good thing any man or woman, the same shall do it, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether you're bond or free. God's going to bless you in all those areas. And you know what? Blessings will come on you. Blessings overtake you. Deuteronomy 28. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. Your basket's blessed. Your store's blessed. Your habitation's blessed. Your bread's blessed. Your water's blessed. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's blessings.
That's
you can't outgive God.
Nope.
And God watches.
Verse 8. But.
This verse will sober you up. Because a lot of you are sitting to me and you say, that friend's going to email me when I get out of here. I'm not going to sow into them. I'm not going to do this. I'm too shy. This ought to sober you up because this ought to touch your heart.
That which bears thorns and briars.
Oh, who is the thorn tree? Judges chapter 9. It is a parable, a metaphor. The trees of the field were gathered together. Remember, God calls us the trees of righteousness. The thorn tree said, if you let me be your king, I'll hide you under my shadow. But a thorn tree has no foliage. He doesn't have a shadow. He's just lying to them. But the briars, the lost people, often follow him.
Is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
You're going to meet people who are lost and they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to till the soil and plant to them. Revelation chapter 20. When Jesus comes at the second advent, the great white throne judgment, everybody's going to be tried. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, you'll walk into the lake of fire. Now, that ought to make you love the next person. Everybody you meet is either saved or lost. The book of Ezekiel, I loved it. You can get me on the WMIFM.com on demand. Get that. There's a whole series there. It says, everybody you meet, if you do not warn them, their blood's on your hand. You are a minister of reconciliation. Do your very best. Water the words you sow to them by praying for them to get them saved so they won't have to walk into the lake of fire after the millennium and after the great white throne judgment.
Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you in things that accompany salvation. There we thus speak.
But see, Holy Spirit said through the author Paul here, we expect better things of you. You love the Lord. You know you're called and chosen and elected. And we expect that you're going to hear this message and you're going to go out there and till the soil because it's all about salvation.
Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
Sometimes it's hard work. Some people are already in the bear's paw. And some of all the lion's mouth he's about to chomp down. And you got to pull them out. It's a labor, but it's a labor of love because you love them.
Amen.
Which you have shown toward his name.
Oh, you do it for his name. Praise the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, Yeshua. You do it in his name because you love him. And his name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13.
And that you have ministered to the saints.
Oh, God watches you. You use Jesus' name, you love him, and you minister to the saints. Who are the saints? Greek, ekklesia, the set aside ones, set apart for holy use. That means the many-membered body of Christ, that person sitting beside you right now. That's why you go to church, so you can minister to them. But it also means that you encourage and you exhort and you say good things to the fivefold ministry, the leaders, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. In other words, you are helping the church. He says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting them. You're encouraging them and you're ministering to them because it's a many-membered body of Christ. And if they are hurting, you're hurting. If they have a need, you have a need, for we are one. And look, God sees you do that. And guess what? Rewards. When Jesus comes back the second time, he's bringing rewards with him. And Judgment Day, if you've been a faithful one, is going to be Reward Day.
Amen. And do minister.
And you don't stop. You don't do it just one time. You say, well, I talked to one person about Jesus one time. I prayed for one person. No. Jesus says, he that endures to the end. And just because they didn't respond the first time, do it again. Persistence wears out resistance.
Yeah. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.
Right up until the second coming of Jesus, who comes after the Antichrist, Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You're not supposed to stop. You've got a job to do, and you don't take a vacation from God's job.
Verse 12, may you be not slothful.
Uh-oh. You know what slothful means in the Greek? Dullard. Remember that word? D-U-L-L-A-R-D. Remember a few teachings back, Paul said you're ignorant, but he didn't mean you don't have brains, you're not smart. He meant you're a dullard. It means don't be lazy to initiate. See, a lot of you say, that's great, Sherry, but I'm going to go home and have some ice cream and watch my video TV. No. Don't be slothful. Initiate. Don't wait for somebody to come to you. You take the initiative and go to them. Because, see, you're a minister of reconciliation. You must take the initiative to encourage people. You must take the initiative to win souls. You call them on the phone. You invite them out to dinner. When they call, you talk to them about the Lord. In other words, it is your responsibility. Go and till the soil.
Amen. Amen.
But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Look about you. Find someone who's tilling the soil, sowing that word, winning souls, and doing what God told them to do. Watch that person's life. They went through hell over and over and over again. But they did not give up. They persevered. They kept at it. And look, they're still tilling the soil. Let those people be your example. If they can, you can. Now he's going to give us one of the greatest examples in the Bible.
Verse 13. But when God made promises to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself.
God says, Abraham, I'm going to make a promise to you, and I'm not a man that I should lie, so I'm swearing by myself.
Verse 14, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying.
Now, wait a minute. When he told Abraham that, Abraham was about 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was about 65, and he just said, I'm going to multiply you. They don't have any children, and she's past childbearing age. What do you mean, God, multiply me? But God's not a man that he shall lie.
I will multiply thee. Verse 15, And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
It was about 25 years later, but Abraham believed God. God had tilled the soil, the seed of a promise in Abraham, and Abraham believed. And when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, they brought forth Isaac, their son. And God said, in Isaac's sons shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Because Isaac's going to have children, and on umbilical cord to umbilical cord will finally come through the Virgin Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ, and anybody in him is blessed. Now, how do you till the soil? First of all, you are the barn. I meant that in a complimentary way. Everybody say, I'm the barn.
I'm the barn.
Okay. Now, the farmer puts a seed in the barn. Now, one of the mighty prophets says, is the seed still in the barn? A lot of you are getting the seed, but you're keeping it in your barn. You're not tilling the soil. So how do you till the soil? Let me give you 8 seed that you must have in your barn, and 8 is a new beginning, and I pray this is a new beginning for you, because you're going to hear this and you're going to go out there and till the soil. The first seed in your barn is the Word of God. Of course, Jesus is the Word, and the Bible is the Word in print. You must have that Word, because that is the seed that will touch them for whatever their need should be. Secondly, in your barn, you must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for it is the Holy Spirit who will nudge you in a very small voice to tell you what to say to that lost person, whether that person's lost, or what's wrong with that Christian person. I mean, does that Christian person, are they sad? Are they sick? Do they need a word of encouragement? In other words, you need the Holy Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so you need that in your barn. Okay, the third seed you need is you need passion prayer, not lukewarm prayer. Why does it have to be passionate? Because God said so. James chapter 5, the effectual, that's non-ceasing, fervent, white, hot chili pepper white, prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The heat does it. In other words, if you've got the Holy Spirit, that's the fire of God in you. You're not going to say, God bless Susie. God heal Mary. God save America. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. No, my God, you're going to come alive. Sound produces movement. And the more sound there is, the more movement. So you got passionate praying there. Besides, remember, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we pray according to Father's will, Romans 8:26. Did you notice that the apostles never said, Jesus, teach us to heal the sick, teach us to cast out devils, teach us to raise the dead? They did that, but they didn't ask that. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Prayer is your greatest power. Prayer is a supernatural power. What in the world is wrong with you that you don't come to prayer school? Lord have mercy. Okay. The next seed you need in your barn is fasting. Jesus said, it's a command, the Sermon on the Mount, when you fast. See, he said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. He didn't say it's an option, when you fast. And he said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. That soil you're tilling there, that person, maybe you've prayed with them and they're saved. Maybe they are a good person. They go to church with you. But you just can't seem to get the victory. You pray and you pray and you pray, and they're still walking back here. They can't get it. This kind goes out by prayer and fasting. See, the Holy Spirit knows what it is. Maybe it's a trauma from their childhood. The Holy Spirit knows why they keep pulling the rug out from under themselves just to get a victory. The Holy Spirit knows why they can never quite get over the top. And the Holy Spirit, when you fast, will open you to understand. And this kind goes out of our prayer and fasting. You know, no greater love of this than a man lay down his life for his friend. And I'm telling you, next to it, no greater love is this than a man will fast for his friend. Fasting opens Holy Spirit, so you will know then how to help that person, that soil you're tilling. Okay, the next seed you need in your barn is love. Jesus says, by this people are going to know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. You may not like them. You may not like what they're doing. You don't have to. But love never fails. That soil, that person, knows whether you're doing that. If you have to do it, you ought to do it because you ought to, or if you love them. They know love never fails. And then in your barn, you must have the seed of giving. You must give up your video games and talk to that person on the phone about Jesus. You must give up your time. It takes a lot of time to love people, to minister to them, to pray with them, to witness to them. But Lord have mercy, what a reward. Jesus says when you pray, when you fast, when you give. And then you must have the seed in your barn of obedience. The Holy Spirit will often talk to you, make you turn on a dime. Somebody's going to email you after this, and somebody's going to say, oh, that's just my friend. Wait a minute. Why don't you be quiet a moment? Your friend is a person. Your friend is either saved or lost. Do you know the difference? Why don't you know difference? Why don't you witness to them? Okay, turn on a dime and obey what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Remember, obedience brings blessings. Disobedience is a sin of rebellion, and rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. Okay, one more seed you need in your barn. Persistence. Jesus says because of their importunity, that means persistence, perseverance, shameless persistence, you get what you ask for. You must not give up. You persevere. Perseverance wins. You are called to till the soil. I pray you'll go out and do that now, and I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you now the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm blessed after that.
Thank You're blessed, you are. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13.
Absolutely great. Amen. Great, Scott, because when he comes, he's going to say, well done, if you've been tilling the soil. Thank you. Now, before I pray for healing, the most important thing in the world is for you to be saved. We've got people all over the world listening now. I love you, all of you out there, and I pray for you, although I don't know your name. Some of your names I've learned, but if you're not saved, the Lord died for you. Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Here we go. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so you don't have to walk into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. Okay, here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Save me.
Save me, Lord.
Give me eternal life.
Give me eternal life.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
Put me where you want me in the body of Christ.
Put me where you want me in the body of Christ.
In your church.
In your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To till the soil.
To till the soil.
To be a minister of reconciliation.
To be a minister of reconciliation.
I love you, my Savior Jesus.
I love you, my Savior Jesus.
But you're also my Lord. I will obey you.
I will obey you.
I will obey what your Bible tells me to do.
I will obey what your Bible tells me to do.
Jesus is my Lord. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible says, Romans, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, Scott's going to give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call me. You'll get my voicemail. Leave your message on my voicemail, and when I get it, I will pray with you, and I will pray for you, and then welcome to the family of God. You may also email me. My email is Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, I'm going to pray for the sick. He did not give me any specific ailment to pray for, so I'm just going to pray. And so if you've got an ailment there, just believe for your healing. Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And you restore health. You heal them of their wounds. You bring it health and cure. With Jesus' stripes, they are healed. And now, according to Malachi 4, to those that fear your name, to those who love and revere you, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. That the laser beams of Jesus Christ, healing verse, your wings means laser beams, flow into your backbone and your spine. All joints be healed. Pain be gone from the back in the name of Jesus. Stomach dead in order. Constipation be gone. Diarrhea be gone. Divine order in the digestive system. Multiple cirrhosis be gone. Pick up your bed and walk. He makes your feet like hinds feet. You're running, you're not weary. You're walking, you're not faint. In the name of Jesus. Tension in the head, in the neck there. Be gone in Jesus' name. Migraine headaches be gone. COVID be gone. Flu be gone. Pneumonia, allergies be gone. Sinusitis be gone. In the name of Jesus, pick up your bed and walk. Arthritis be gone. You shall not die, but declare the works of God. Yes. Thus saith the Lord. Yes. And we all say,
I agree
in Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah. Yes. Somebody got it. Huh. You might want to call and tell me that too, or email me that. I'd love to hear it. I know you did. I can always tell when the virtue goes out. You can tell that. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. I give you peace. This is your second best friend, if you ever get it through your head. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And no greater love is this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time we get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When the mountains are falling, when the waters are rising, I shall be safe in you. Though the nations are quaking, every kingdom be shaken, still I will rest in you.
Than silver or gold, I'd rather be his than have riches untold. And I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. And I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today.
On his throne, now and forever.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Now I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, caused the blind to see. Oh, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Shed for me, it makes me victorious. You know I've been set free. You heard about the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. It makes me victorious. You know I've been set free. Share for me.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Face it when you want it, face it when you don't want it. Face it when you like it, face it when you don't like it. But face the truth.
And Dr. Tony Evans says not just any truth will do.
There's only one infinite absolute source, and that's God, so he's the only one who can be absolutely true every time about everything.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If you've ever tried to hold a beach ball underwater, you know that no matter how hard you try, it's going to pop to the surface sooner or later. Today, Dr. Evans will explain why God's absolute truth works the same way, no matter how hard some people try to suppress it. Let's join him.
The Bible declares in James chapter 4, verse 12, that there is only one lawgiver, only one, and that our judgments are to be made in light of the one lawgiver. Because absolute truth, let me repeat it, must have an absolute source, and there's only one infinite absolute source, and that's God, so he's the only one who can be absolutely true every time about everything. He said, look at who's created these stars. Is it not I, the Lord? He says, creation attests to God. It attests to God's power. It attests to God's nature. It attests to God's attributes. He calls it the invisible attributes. You have a problem with God because you can't see him. Well, you can't see wind, but you can see what it does. Let it blow hard enough. When you suppress truth, you are suppressing God, who has made his reality known internally and externally in creation. The Bible makes it clear what Proverbs 11:11 says, when a city abandons God, it tears down. Proverbs 14. Verse 34, when a nation rejects God, it goes down. So the further your life, your family, this city, this nation, this world rejects God, the darker things get. Because when you suppress the truth, trust me, if you see a watch, there's a watchmaker somewhere. Trust me, if you see a painting, there is a painter somewhere. Trust me, if you see a building, there is a builder somewhere. And when you see creation, there is a creator somewhere. And you can know how awesome the creator is by how big the creation is. See, if I just pick up a golf ball, I don't have to be big for that. If I pick up a basketball and be able to bounce it, I'm a little bigger. No? If I pick up a house, well, I'm a beast. What happens when you can pick up a universe? But when the truth is suppressed, the absolute standard by which reality is measured, darkness set in, and he says it is replaced by idols. Because man needs religion. So what they do is they create their own religion that frees them up to believe what they want to believe and do what they want to do because they can't handle God's truth or don't want to handle it. And so what we have in America are designer idols. So we don't do that crude stuff. We get American idols. We get the idols of notoriety, materialism. We got the idol now of race. We got the idols of culture. We got idols of politics. We says neither are they thankful. They don't give God the cred that he deserves as God. They don't treat him like he's God. They'll mention him. They'll throw up his name, but they won't give him. You know, I've been a long time since I had a dog, but the dog that I had that I don't have no more, I don't ever remember my dog saying thanks. I don't ever remember my dog saying thanks. I don't ever remember expressions of gratitude. I do remember expectations. Amen. Amen. He wanted to be blessed. He wanted water and food. But I never remember thanks. Just expectations. God has a creation with folk who act like animals. They got great expectations. Who don't want to give him the recognition that his name demands and deserves. Amen. And so this idolatry, this cafeteria God, pick the parts of God you want, the Burger King God, so you can have it your way, has become the norm of the culture, because if they can get rid of God as he defines himself to be, they can create God in their own image while they suppress the truth. You and I should be known. This church should be known. Our ministry should be known as people committed to the truth, as God defines it. Now, I'm going to tell you now, sometimes you're not going to like it. Sometimes I don't like it. Sometimes you're not going to obey it. But the moment you start denying it and dismissing it is the moment things get dark.
Amen. Amen.
The wrath of God is revealed. The word wrath refers to God's just retribution against sin. Wrath is God's just retribution against sin. The wrath of God is revealed. He is not talking about hell. He's talking about history. Is revealed. Not will be revealed. Is revealed right now. What you are seeing is the wrath of God on display. What you are seeing now in our world, in our lives, is the wrath of God on display. Now, I call this the passive wrath of God as opposed to the active wrath of God. Let me explain what I mean. In the Old Testament, you have the active wrath of God. In other words, fire and brimstone coming from heaven, Sodom and Gomorrah. You had a flood. The whole earth was flooded. The active wrath of God. He directly did it. The earth opened up, Korah and his family swallowed up in the earth. He directly did it. The death of Jesus Christ shifted God's relationship to the world. So the Bible says, because of the death of Jesus Christ, the world was reconciled to him. So a shift took place, praise God, because of the cross. There is a shift that occurs with Christ in history and his substitute on the cross. But because God must be just, his